You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everybody, this is Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm.
Hey, what's up? This is Chadis from Hell Yeah and Mudvayne.
This is Ron Bumblefoot Fall.
Hey, this is Barbara Wild.
And this is Daniela Clark.
This is Johnny from Art of Dying.
Hey, this is Mixie from Stitched Up Heart.
Hey, this is Nick Reese from Joyous Bowl.
Hey, this is Josh from Bad Flower. Welcome aboard the ship making way. Fuck!
Hey, this is Ralph Sutton.
This is Aaron Jones.
What's going on, gang? Zach Wild here. And you're listening to Making Waves, the Shipwrecked Podcast.
Making Waves.
Hey, welcome to Making Waves, the Ship Rock Podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media family and the fastest growing rock music podcast in the world. Our community is larger and more involved than ever, and we thank you so much for your support. Remember to review, rate, subscribe, and share. With that, let's welcome our guest tonight. She's, well, not really new on the scene, but she's new to us and I think new in her evolved state. So please welcome Lilith Czar. Lilith, thank you. Thank you so much,
Justin, for joining us. Thank you for the wonderful intro.
Yes, so happy to absolutely. Be here. You are a phoenix rising from the ashes.
I am a bird on fire.
Yeah. Listen,
literally.
I'm
in the palm of a hand. That's the craziest thing. It's like someone's
Look at watch. I can light myself on fire right now.
Listen, right out of the box, I just got to get this out of the way because it's been sitting on me for a while. And excuse me if I say it incorrectly. Who says a woman can't think with her dick? From your song, King. Now, when I first heard that, the first thing I thought about was the old L7 song, Fast and Frightening, when Donita Sparks said, she's got so much clit, she don't need no balls.
Oh, my God.
Right.
So I was like, wow, that's a modern take kind of on this kind of, I wouldn't say a feminist thing. It's more like a women empowerment thing without kind of going into that area right there. So how did that come to be? I mean, I know there's stories you've spoken about, but King, discuss it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, King is essentially, you know, it's about being sick of feeling like I couldn't voice my opinions or I couldn't say what was exactly on my mind for fear of, you know, being called a diva or a bitch or insane or crazy or whatever it is. It's like, there's this kind of, you know, struggle that women have to put up with. And that's, if we do something a man does, it's not taken the same way, you know? And it's like, a man can be completely opinionated and commanding and it's on his mind and, you know, exactly how he feels and he's strong and he's powerful and he's a leader. But I have found in the past from my own personal experience, that when I was that way, I was labeled a bitch. Or, you know, not easy to work with or whatever it is. And I mean, so far as to like being like, oh, is it that time of the month and things like that? And you're just like, why? Because I have an opinion about something. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, that's, and it, you know, okay, you build up at least for me, again, you know, you build up sort of just kind of like a fingers to it. And you kind of shut it off and don't really pay attention to it, but it can certainly, you know, fuck with your psyche a bit. And this song is kind of saying like, and it's not just for women. It's the root of the song is who are you to tell me who I am, what I can say, what I can and cannot do because of my body. It's like a look past the gender or whatever. And this is who I am and what my soul is about. Not necessarily just because, you know, I have a vagina. And am I frozen?
I'm listening.
Cool.
You're good.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we're just like listening. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, you know, the song is certainly, it is an anthem for women. But the deep rooted message is you should be allowed to be yourself and whatever it is that you want to be without being met with obstacles. And, you know, it's about taking your power or others will, you know, and that's essentially what that line is it's like, who's to say a woman can't think with her dick is basically like, it means who's to say I can't do anything a man or anyone else can do. Like, who's to say I can't do what he can do or what she can do or what it's, you know, it's a much bigger concept other than just like, you know, the surface level.
You know, it kind of goes back to the old adage that Ginger Rogers could do everything that Fred Astaire did, but do it in heels and backwards.
And on her period, probably.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. The studios may have taken those away from her.
Control is a weird thing. And fear, I think. And I was listening very wholeheartedly what you're saying. And I think the control and fear of losing control. Sorry, my dog Carl is like legitimately losing his mind back.
That's totally fine.
This fear that doesn't, this like so, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it because I see it all the time in these spaces where it's like, what are you afraid of? I don't understand like why, not you, but a man in a room with other people, humans, whether they're a female or man. I mean, if you're controlling the room and you have, I should say, if you have their attention, regardless of what sex you are, there should be no fear of losing their attention. You should be excited to pass that attention along to other people and lift them up because everybody's got a different voice and life is about perspective and music more or less is supposed to be about perspective. And I think it's fucking rad personally that you can get into that room and take that attention and enlighten and elevate other women.
Yeah.
More importantly, because it's always bigger than ourselves, but educate other men. And I just wanted to say it was dope hearing you talk the way you just were talking about it because it does need to be said.
Thank you. I'm so happy you had such a great response to what I had to say about women and us also being able to think with our dicks.
Well, it's an interesting part. Yeah, that it's very interesting though, because the music world, especially let's take the rock world specifically in your case, is really being, I wouldn't say dominated, but women have found this level playing field of sorts, whether it's you, whether it's Taylor Momsen, whether it's Lizzie, whether it's Maria, you guys are out there en masse. Amy Lee, I mean, you have this tour coming up we'll talk about that's full of that whole, like, you know, we are here, hear us roar and kind of thing. And we're here to stay. So I always find it interesting and a little off-putting for myself is like when you still hear these stories that this is still going on. My God, I thought we outlived this. I mean, the Runaways took it on the chin. You shouldn't be taking it on the chin in 2020, 2021.
Oh, yeah. No, it's of course it's still going on. I deal Say that again. Sorry, you cut out.
I was going to say the levers of power never really kind of change. Sometimes that mentality kind of sticks around and it's going to take a long time, unfortunately, for it to kind of weed itself out.
Yeah, but absolutely. But, you know, it's funny. I just finished reading Blondie's autobiography. And she obviously had to deal with that a lot coming up in her band. And she said something in the book that I think, God, it's so true. Like she just like, you know, misogyny and oppression and all of that is just something I had to just deal with. But I'm, you know, I'm a strong woman and I just didn't complain about it. And I just fucking got on. It's great, like, to be able to take my experiences and put them into music and definitely use what I've gone through to lift up and inspire other women. But it's also, it's like, women are so impenetrable. Like, we're, like, they're so fucking strong. And you got to just keep fucking going on. You got to, if you see something that's wrong, you go, hey, that's fucked up. Don't. don't say that or whatever, but you know, you just keep going. It just makes you.
Well, women have always tended to be more pragmatic than men. So that obviously right there is one of their strengths. So, So speaking of, I guess it's an anthem of sorts, but the newest single, Anarchy, kind of falls into more of an anthem thing now. I read that you mentioned that you were kind of inspired by Queen and how they were able to get audiences going with some of their more anthemic songs. And this may be one of those ones that falls into that category for you.
Yeah. Anarchy, you know, when we were, it was, you know, after we wrote it was when we kind of dived into like what we wanted it to feel like and like, you know, the beat and the cadence, the guitar and all of that. But the song itself, you know, it was written kind of magically because I was in Nashville with Scott and we were in with Zach Malloy and Blair Daly, who have, you know, been collaborators on this record. And we had about like, I don't know, like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours until the session was over. We were going to go get dinner or whatever. And we're like, let's just start an idea. Let's just start an idea really quickly. You guys can take it back to LA and finish it, you know, just so you just have something. And we're like, okay. So I was going through, I do a lot of like write at night. Like I'll just like write anything that comes to my mind in my notes. I have this whole like lyrics notes anyway. So I started going through it and I came across You and Me, We Are Like Anarchy. And I was like, let's start with this. An hour and 50 minutes later, the song was completely written, which is like kind of rare for me. Usually we spend a couple days, sometimes weeks on a song, you know, perfecting it. But this song, it was like it had fallen from the ether and was like waiting to be, it was like it had already been written. It just needed to be put on paper. And, you know, it's certainly an anthem for those who feel like they have been told you can't succeed, your dreams are not going to come true, have been told they don't fit in, that it is you screaming at the top of your lungs to the world who you are and that you're not going to apologize for it. And it's crazy to me that this song, I mean, it wasn't even really planned, you know, it wasn't planned to have this be the song that kind of grew the legs and is, you know, grew the legs that it did. We had other plans in mind for singles and this song kind of just was like, no, it's me. You will pay attention to me. And so I just find it kind of poetic and really cool that, you know, this song is like the story of my life. So I
think it's super important for bands, whether they realize it or not, when they're writing this song, a song like this is like, hey, we got to have that live song that's going to really unite everyone together. Because that moment, because quite honestly, that's what half people are waiting for. They're waiting for their signal lungs out to that chorus of that song that you wrote. Yeah. And you go, yeah, this is our live song. And I'm sure that's probably one of those epiphany moments in the studio.
Yeah, to bring it back to what you were saying about Queen, when Scott and I were laying the song down and, you know, kind of coming up with like what the heartbeat of the song was going to be, I was like, we need that fucking song the entire crowd sings. We need that.
Yeah.
You know, we need that. And so that's kind of why you get, you know, the beginning of the and like that, like it's like marching almost. Like that's what we wanted it to feel like. We wanted it to feel like your heartbeat was like marching to the song. And that's why you have that beat.
There's a song I want to ask you about, but I got to do this quick commercial break before we go live here. So let me do this real quick. And I know Chad has a plenty to talk to you about here. So that'd be great for the fans to hear. Hey folks, at this time, we'd like to remind you are not only listening to a kick-ass rock podcast right now, but we're also producing an amazing rock-themed cruise called Shiprocked. We'll be sailing to Costa Maya and Cozumel on the 12th voyage in January of 2022. Sail away into oblivion. That's metal oblivion, by the way. With Lamb of God, I Prevail, From Ashes to New, Steel Panther, and our guest tonight, Lilith Czar. So make sure and check out shiprock.com because cabins are still available and on sale. And with that said, welcome everyone from Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us tonight with our guest, Lilith Czar. Before we continue our conversation here, remember, guys, if you have a question for her, please put it in the comments and we'll pick one out from you guys. And that's about it. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. And we'll continue on. One song I wanted to talk away about before I hand you over to Chad is the song Lola. Yes. Now, when I listen to the song, I'm thinking, man, you know what? If this was written in 1982, Journey could have taken this thing and run with it. Because you have that kind of
Absolutely.
But I don't want to take away from you. I just, one of those songs that first my mind went there because when the guitar part came in and those guitar melodies and what you were singing about the subject of, I got to get out of this town.
Yeah.
And it was just like, man, this is, it's not Springsteen-ish, but it's more of a Journey song because it felt like it tugged at that kind of like that high school part of my heart that still kind of lives.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And well, it just showed me, you have such a mixed collection of songs on this album. It's not just synth pop or, you know, dark wave or whatever. It's got these rock elements that are basically could work on any kind of, I dare I say, heritage rock station, but I guarantee you they wouldn't turn away from it.
Well, I take that as a compliment because, you know, classic rock is what I grew up listening to. I think that the album, you know, it definitely reflects my love for variety of rock music, whether that's, you know, 90s grunge or classic rock or, you know, even some Motown and current, you know, modern rock. I think the reason why the record may take you on such a dynamic journey is because we really took the time to write it. You know, we didn't write and record this record in 2 months. We wrote and recorded this record over 2.5, almost 3 years. And so, you know, you go through just in that amount of, and plus going through COVID, you go, you know, life, you go through so many different experiences and so many different emotions. And that's translated on the record because that is what I was experiencing over the last couple of years of making this album. And I think that's that supports and lends itself to the evolution and the of Lilith Czar. You know, writing this record really, it shifted a lot in my universe.
Interesting. Yeah.
Over the course of 2 or 3 years in any person's lifetime, there's a lot of peaks and valleys. I would expect
absolutely.
That. Well, could you? I don't think you could expect a record not to feel emotional in both of those aspects. If you're thinking about the way that a human reacts to things like a pandemic or, you know, a breakup or a new love interest or whatever, 2 or 3 years can provide you a lot of writing material. And I can only assume that it did exactly that. And you mentioned Motown. I'm from Detroit. I'm here in Detroit right now. And your voice has always been something that I've found to be extremely driving yet soulful. And I followed you since when you started as Juliet Sims and then going into the Automatic Love Letter stuff. And even when you went to The Voice in 2012 and then coming back and doing Juliet Sims. And then now here we are with the rebirth.
Wow. You followed me my whole life.
I've actually booked Automatic Love Letter back in the day as a talent buyer. So like those sort of things like, I've been doing talent buying for like 15 years. But with that being said, as I wanted to ask you something because I think it's so interesting when somebody can do that. Like I had a band called Wilson. We talked about it earlier. And I think that we were trying to do the same version of this, but without, unfortunately, changing our name, right? Because that the idea of it feels so much more soothing and every win underneath that other moniker, whatever it is, feels great. And every loss doesn't feel as deprecating. Mm-hmm. Personal question here.
Okay.
How does it feel when you're seeing a success right now, currently with Lilith Czar, and thinking about your name being Juliet Sims and having to push this down a little bit so this other part of you can succeed or exist, I should say, as an artist, does it feel weird?
Oh, absolutely. I would be a liar if I didn't admit that it's been like, you know, you put on this cape, so to speak, this new, I don't want to say mask, but yeah, like you put on this new, it's like entering into, it's like entering into the world for the first time. You know, you are like, you want to make sure that it's different enough and that you're able to separate, like being, having to separate, you know, who I am legally and who I was born as from this, you know, new version of myself that I've become is super challenging. 100%. You know, you absolutely second guess things and I obsess over small little tiny little details because I want it to be so Lilith and so artistic and exactly, I want in every music video, I want everything I wear and everything that's on the table to mean something and have symbolism and poetry. And it's like, it's all I'm trying to do things in a new way, in a different way and in a better way. And like, not like I did in the past. And so it's like, it's certainly like learning to, I don't know, like, walk. Drive and walk again. Yeah, exactly. Foo Fighters learning to walk again. And so, yeah, but it's also at the same time, it's also like, I can do whatever I want. I get to fucking do, you know, I get to say whatever I want. I like, I'm talking about all of these things that I've suppressed and put away for so long. And now I get to just, you know, speak my mind, say what I want, create what I want. Because it's in its infancy, I have the, you know, luxury of being like, all right, what's the craziest thing I can think of? And let's do that.
Yeah.
And so that's really fun.
I suppose you probably also have a tale of trials and tribulations to relate back to. Like, okay, well, I know that this doesn't particularly work for me. I don't think it will also work for Lilith. So let's, you know, cross this off the list. But I think that this thing that didn't work for me will work for Lilith, you know, for this version of yourself. And I'm sure there's probably something extremely freeing about, because we're not, DNA of a human being, like we just talked about, 2 to 3 years, it changes massively, but still stays the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, definitely true. But for me personally, and just being completely candid, this record and this whole process is the first time I've ever done it sober. And that, like, deciding to completely get clean and all of that and rid myself of, you know, that fucking problem it definitely was a huge shift for me. It was, whoa, feeling feelings, confronting problems, handling things, like experiencing everything for the first time with like really, really clear eyes. And everything felt very, very new. And, through that process, there was a strength that I found that I had that I didn't even know that I don't even know that I had before. And I definitely owe that to a very difficult past.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Your life in a lot of ways kind of mirrors the way Alice Cooper has to deal with, you know, Vincent Fournier having to deal with his Alice Cooper persona, in the sense that, like, you just said, like, hey, when I'm Lilith, I can say what I want, I can do what I want, but when I'm Juliet, I'm going to the store, I'm paying bills.
Oh, yeah, when I'm Juliet, I'm in pajamas watching some shitty show.
It's a unique perspective to have that kind of that mask of sorts you want to put on. It's more than a mask because it does become part of who you are. Yeah. But I find it very interesting, but in reverse, it was like, Alice was the one for Alice that was getting into the dabbling and stuff, and it took Vince to bring him into sobriety. Well, it took Lilith to bring Juliet into sobriety. So that's kind of an interesting twist, but it's interesting to hear a story because I'm like, man, it kind of sounds like Alice.
And that's
rad. Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Alice were twinsies, you know.
Wouldn't be a bad tour. I'm saying that wouldn't be a bad tour.
Would be great.
I would not hate on that. Not one bit. Alice.
Speaking of tour, you have a big one coming up.
Yeah.
And what a way to kick off, like, not doing shit for a long time and being like, I'm going to go on like a fucking amphitheater tour.
I know. Oh my God. I know. Talk about like, not even like easing into it.
Yeah, seriously.
Here you go.
How's that feel? That's going to be great.
It's insane. Like I couldn't believe it for like the first hour when I was told. I was like, no. Oh, you're bugging with me. That's a lie. It was so crazy. Even when the tour was, you know, presented itself, like, oh, this could be something that you could potentially get. I was like, no, like there's no fucking way. And then it happened. And I'm really excited. Two women who are absolute goddesses, powerhouse, fucking badass, like inspirations, Hailstorm and Evanescence. I don't know. I what can I say? I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of both bands. Both women have inspired throughout the years, and it is a dream come true. And
it's a really interesting tour because now you're getting this platform to be shown to a much larger audience. And in a lot of ways, Amy and Evanescence are kind of getting reintroduced to that audience because they have been gone. So it's really, quite honestly, it's a good introduction for you and a reawakening for them. So it kind of makes a lot of sense. And then Lizzie and Amy they're bold with their moves on who they want to bring on tour. And with you guys and Plush, very female centric. And I don't think they choose it off that. I think they base it off like, these acts are great. We just all happen to be the same gender. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Yeah, it's a bill that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's going to help drive you to such this immense audience. That's going to be, fascinating to see what 2022 transpires from this tour.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited. It's just killer. And you know, I've said this before, but the support women have for each other in the rock community is unlike anything I've ever experienced in any other genre. So
yeah, it's amazing. And a lot of women are working in that field. They're on crews, they're lighting people, they're sound people, they're stage managers. So it's, you know, it's a big world out there, and they're filling a lot of important roles. So good on that. So speaking of, I have two questions related to you being on the road if you don't mind, from two of our viewers. Randy wants to know, what personal items do you take on tour that are necessary for you?
That's a good question, Randy.
You cut out that aren't what?
Just what personal items will you take on tour that are going to be important to you?
Oh, okay. And it's like, it's not the obvious stuff. It's not like clothes and makeup. And
Hey, I've got to take my JBL Bluetooth speaker, whatever you want it to be.
All right. Well, my pillow, I take my pillow with me because, I have a very bougie neck apparently. And
bougie.
So that comes with me. And, what else is really, oh shit. Okay. I have this, I have to figure this out. Maybe somebody can help me with this. I am technologically not very inclined. It's amazing that I was able to log onto Zoom today and be here with you guys because I am not, do not hand me things that are electronic. Anyways, I have this old, I don't even know what it's called. What was the small, tiny, square iPod from way back in the day? And it had like the clip on it. Like a shuffle. The
shuffle, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have on this shuffle. I have a singing, I have a few singing lessons that I did back in the day with this incredible singing coach named Ron Anderson. He's like a bazillion dollars to get in with. So these recorded sessions are very, very valuable to me. So I transferred way, way back in the day, CD to like computer to iPod Shuffle. I can't figure out how to get those lessons off of the iPod Shuffle and onto like a newer device. And it's so old that the only way it works is it has to be charging. It has to be plugged in and charging at the same time that you're listening, but you can't. It's really complicated and it's a big pain in the ass, but it fucking comes with me everywhere.
I think Apple made it proprietary that basically that's such old technology. They were going to destroy it. And we shan't talk about it again.
We have tried
the songs on there besides like, did you like audio? Like, is it record or something? Or
this is how old these lessons are. He recorded our lesson on a CD, gave me the CD. I put the lesson in my computer, which is long gone. I don't know where that computer is. But before I got rid of that computer, I took those lessons and I put it on the shuffle. So it's on the shuffle, but it doesn't exist anywhere else.
Do you know, I can appreciate your workflow.
We've taken it to the Apple store. They're what is this?
I wasn't born
these
when
Gen Z's yeah, are like, I don't know that. What this is.
I was two when this was put out. So yeah, we had another question regarding tour, and this is from Skylar. She wants to know, how are you going to, or how do you already physically and mentally prepare for tour?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Well, you know, physically, I mean, I'm very active. I exercise every day. The closer we get to tour, I do start exercising, I'll jog and sing at the same time, which is very difficult, but it helps you build up that like stamina of singing and running back and forth. Something that I'm very, I have my discipline in with is singing every day, doing those iPod fucking vocal lessons every day and singing every day and just getting my voice in shape to be able to do what it needs to do on the road. But besides that, you know, just a lot of crying, you know, a lot of hiding in the corner, being afraid.
You can cry on tour. You don't need to prepare for crying on tour. You can cry every night.
I like to cry really, really pretty. So that takes practice to not look like a hideous monster while I'm crying on stage.
Claire Danes stuff from Titanic. You're just like the best, almost over the top, beautiful tears of all time. I get it.
Man, what a good movie.
Great film. Great cry too. Great cry.
No, very good.
Hey, can we ask one more question? Because tonight the questions are really good.
Yeah.
Not that they're always not great, but tonight they're exceptional. Thomas wants to know, what was the inspiration behind the name change?
Lots of reasons I changed my name. One that sticks out is that I felt I had become somebody else. I felt like I had shed my skin of the artist Juliet Sims. I felt that there was so much about that artist I no longer was. And being somebody that's that puts a lot of their real personal experiences into their lyrics and into their music, I wanted to be able to convey that as an artist as well. That part of, you know, the shift that happened in me as a person. And another reason was COVID 2020. I was just like, I need to do something crazy. You know, I just had one of those moments that I was like, I looked at my past. I looked at who I was as an artist. I was like, this is not it. This isn't it. You know, my heroes are David Bowie and, you know, Elton John and Stevie Nicks and we ethereal and all. Like, I just got to a point last year where I was just like, I need to do exactly what I want to do and exactly what I've been wanting to do my entire career, or what the fuck is the point? You know, and that's when we made the decision.
Yeah. That's strong, and that's awesome, and that's probably the most badass thing that I think that any artist can do, is to honor the way that they're feeling in a way that gives no fucks about how it affects any of the past, because the current is more important anyways.
So. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
One thing, Lilith, you brought him up, and I was going to bring him up because I was going to use it as my and or question, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I was going to ask you earlier, I'll just pull it. I was going to ask you, Bowie or Mercury, but you kind of answered that one for me.
Oh no, you can't.
Well, let me go. Let me go one level deeper.
Okay.
David as Ziggy or David as Diamond Dog?
Okay. Wait.
It's hard because he was always evolving, and that's kind of like, I feel like you're doing. You're gonna have your Diamond Dog days in your years coming up.
I hope so. I feel like
this is walk the plank.
This is walking it without walking it, Chad. This is she's obviously in hell.
This is diving off of it.
Yeah.
This is a horrible trapped under the boat, Justin. I don't know if we can be friends anymore. Okay, fine, Ziggy.
Really.
Ziggy.
All right. Very good.
I agree. I'm on the same page.
I'm gonna take Ziggy. But ask me again. Ask me again in like 3 years. Who knows?
When you finish the book. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, because at that point you might be at a point where like, well, you know what? I really like this Let's Dance era.
No.
Also, it's perspective, you know, like that's such exactly about being a badass and making the decisions you want to make when you want to make them at the time. Because it felt
absolutely.
3 years from now, you're a different person.
Yeah.
It's literally gone off of us and it rebirthed as new skin. I don't think you can have the same opinions truthfully all the way through it 3 years later. So
yeah. Wouldn't that be crazy if every 3 years you like... You like actually shed your shell and then you're like, you were a completely different person just every 3 years.
You know what's going to happen though, is you're going to go, man, I really liked the way my teeth were in that last phase. Can
in
I
that last suit?
Now? Yeah. What do I got now or whatever? Yeah. What? Look at my hair. This is just going to be the worst 3 years of my fucking life.
Oh my
Where's
God.
Where's my like, shedding?
Yeah. You get married and then like 3 years later, you're like, oh,
you can shed them too.
No, I'm good. Bye.
No, you're not saying bye. It's just a natural. It's a natural thing. It's like, you know, it's like sugar dissolves in water. You just kind of, it happens.
You just disappear from.
Where are we going with? Yes. Oh, someone says metamorphosis. Chad, what kind of question do you have that's going to torture her?
Actually, I don't know if it's going to torture her as much as you've been torturing her. Let me pull it up real quick because my little thing just went away. Okay, cool. So it's not really a question per se that I think will torture anybody, but it's more or less like an interesting, I'm interested in the answer. What was it that you did when you were younger to get in trouble? Like the consistent thing, like when you got in trouble,
What was it
that you did the most? Yeah. That activity.
Oh, man. There's so many things that I did that were bad. Okay. Well, smoking. I was a big fat smoker. I got kicked out of school a couple of times for not going to class and smoking, you know, like in the bathroom, that whole cliche thing. I am a walking cliche. Cheating on exams, you know, cheating in school. Not because I didn't know the answers, just because I don't know. I wanted to get 100%. I could have probably passed the.
Just because, you know, it's like whatever, it doesn't matter anyways.
I want to be the best. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Stealing my parents' car in the middle of the night. So They'd go to bed.
All sound like very Americana things. Smoking, cheating on tests, and stealing your parents' car. This is teenagehood, right? This is teen life.
This is I was really living it up in Florida. What can I tell you? What can I say? I was having...
We're in Florida, by the way, just out of curiosity.
Oh, God. Like this small little town near Tampa Bay.
So, okay. I can see that.
Like
that's
right
a classic
off the
Tampa move, you know?
Yeah.
Smoke cigarettes. Let's go steal my mom's fucking car tonight, right?
What am I, a 65-year-old woman?
In my mind, everybody.
Definitely
65-year-old women. Just look at this.
But my mom, she was like a human, like detector. Like she would know where I was. Oh my God. And she would find me. And it was scary. This one time though, my parents are so fucking cool. This one time. So I had this bedroom that the windows led right out to the driveway, like where the cars were. And I could just sneak out of the window. I wouldn't have to go through the front door to leave. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, everybody's sleeping. I'm like, man, this is my time. So I sneak out the window. You don't turn the car on. You just put it in neutral and then you back it out and then push it forward until you're far enough. And then you start it. And yeah. So I go and hang out with my friends. We drink like Smirnoffs. You guys remember those? And drive home. Don't do that, kids. And I'm sneaking back in.
You push the car home.
Yes.
Because you're responsible.
Yes. Yeah. No, I actually recruited a guy to push the car home. Yeah. So I grabbed this blanket. Sorry, my computer's dying. So I grabbed this blanket from the car because I was like, oh shit, I have to sneak back in. And like the railing, whatever you call it, like the window set sill was like, it kind of hurt. So I'd like have this blanket that I'd throw the blanket over and I'd like snake myself over the window sill. And so I'm doing my little snaking thing and I'm like trying to get in. I'm like trying to be shifty and quiet about it. And all of a sudden the light goes on and I'm halfway through the window, but outside, front torso inside. And my parents are both standing there and we all just start laughing so hard. I mean, it was just so fucking funny because I was like stuck and I and then they were like, okay, you're grounded.
Can I please tell me that you guys went down to the main strip, drove around and listened to Motley Crue? Just tell me that's what you did.
We went down to the Clearwater Beach strip.
Okay.
It was called the strip.
Sure.
But it was not Motley Crue. It was like Nelly and I'm not even gonna lie. My friends though, here's the thing though, is my friends weren't cool. Like I secretly was like, yeah, fucking Nirvana and Foo Fighters, but like all my friends and stuff were like Black Eyed Peas, Nelly, 50 yeah. Cent. Like this was Florida.
Yeah. All right, listen, this is kismet. Let me tell you why. Randy had another question. This is good, and it falls right into what you said. I think you got the questions before I did. She goes, if you had to collaborate with either a country or hip-hop artist, who would it be, and what would the song be?
Oh, my God.
You already have an affinity for hip-hop, so this should be kind of easy for you.
Honestly, I am friends with this person, but I think he's stupid talented, like so unbelievably talented. I want to make it happen. I would love to do a collab with Hiro the Hero.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah,
I would love to do a collab with him.
I think he'd be totally down for that, like tomorrow.
Let's make it happen. And what song? Oh my God. I mean, it would, we're talking a cover, obviously. Maybe like, I don't know, like a Black Sabbath song, like War Pigs, just like,
can you throw a beat over that riff? I think Chad can throw a beat over that riff.
Yeah. I think my mind immediately went to that Mary J. Blige, Method Man,
Oh God, now I wait, hang on, let me look it up.
Back then too. And it was like, I mean, I know Hyrule will say yes.
Yeah.
As a dude, like, who actually like did this, like, and said, hey, can you come to my apartment right now and record all this stuff? He's like, I'll be there in a minute, man.
I know. Yeah, he's the best. I shared a bus with him on tour Disrupt. And he's like, I love him so much.
Yeah, they were telling me that that was a great time, that tour. They love you, by the way. I know that. So you're good.
That's awesome. Yeah, it started off a little shaky, where I had to fucking mom their asses, they'll tell you. Oh my God. But then it was fine. It was like the first couple of days, I was like, oh, these guys are fucking crazy. They're like wild. And like, this is my first sober tour. And I was like, you're not going to fuck this up for me.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, holy shit. Like they were wild, like wild. And which is great. Do your thing. But yeah, I had to mom them a bit in the beginning. And then we all became best friends and fell in love with each other. It was great.
All right, so Hyrule doing some Sabbath. What's that? You could do a kind of a mix where you do Sabbath right into what's that? Scrubs? I don't want no Scrubs. That'd be a good one. Yeah,
TLC.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought it. I have no clue why I thought of that. Anyway,
it's a good song.
We've had you for like an hour, 60 minutes of your time. Chatty, do you have anything else to say to Mrs. R?
I do, but I think that we should do a volume two. Maybe on the ship, we could set.
Oh yeah, we're definitely having her on our Making Waves version on the ship. And guys, we will be doing Making Waves on the ship. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And we can talk about the tour and all the good stuff you did over Christmas.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
So guys, thank you, Chad. Nothing else right now, my friend.
What?
I said that wetted my whistle, you know.
Hey, speaking of, before we let you go, have you been on a cruise ship before?
Okay. Oh my God. All right. We can like say we're like cool to say whatever we want, right?
I'm sorry, just surprised you haven't cursed more. I was hoping for some cursing or something.
Okay. Well. Okay. Listen.
Say whatever you want.
Okay. Don't look at guys. We have a rule. You want to know what the rules are? There's two rules. Don't go in the forest. Don't go in the ocean.
What's wrong with the forest? That's where all the creatures are. That's where all the hobbits and goblins live. What's wrong with that?
Because it's not our land. It's not, look at that's here. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about going on this trip. I'm doing this because I love rock music and I love playing rock music and I want to be with the rock music lovers, but someone's going to have to hold my hand a lot.
You hit the water.
You guys are like, great. This is a really great sales pitch.
It's amazing because you're on the water, but you're not really on the water.
No.
You're a big piece of floating steel.
Yeah,
Moses or anything, you know.
That's right. Oh man, I've been on a cruise before. Threw up a lot. great, sexy. Steve, that's really
right. your merch is gonna rock.
Yeah. It's gonna have a lot of me all over it.
Puke on the back across the shoulder.
I might throw up on you.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't get too close to the stage.
No, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. It's gonna be wonderful. You're gonna be so concerned with how your performance is going that you're not even gonna give the thought that you're in the middle of the ocean.
I'm just gonna say that
you're not even gonna give thought that you're in the middle of the ocean. The middle of the ocean.
No, for real though, I'm actually really excited. It's in the middle of the ocean. No, it's going to be really, really fun. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, we're stoked to have you. It's such an amazing, we're like anyone. Our cruise is evolving the way we bring our acts on and who we bring on. And we want to introduce people to these incredible acts. And you're obviously one of them. So thank you for coming aboard and thank you for your time tonight. We really do appreciate it.
Super honored, you guys. Yeah. Thank you.
So, guys, check it out. Lilith's album, created from Filth and Dust, is out. You can get that wherever you buy things at brick and mortar shops. You can go to any streaming platforms, but go buy the. Is it on vinyl?
It is on vinyl, CD and vinyl. You can get that. Just go to lilithzar.com and everything is there. All the streaming platforms, physical merch, social medias, everything is there.
So check that out. Always buy the vinyl. The vinyl is the coolest.
Just dude, cool. This is my first vinyl. So I was, when mine arrived in the mail, I was just, it's so beautiful. It's, I really put a lot of thought into, you know, how it looks and how it looks when it's spinning and the artwork and all of that. And so,
yeah, that's really great.
Yeah.
And remember, guys, starting November through December, so November through the holidays, Lilith will be out with Evanescence, Hailstorm, and Plush. So get your tickets now. They're on sale. And then wait, you'll know exactly what to expect when she sails with us in January of 2022, where she will be on the ocean. And
maybe on the ocean. No, it's going to be.
Anyway, guys, hey, listen, thank you guys for your questions tonight. Those are really good. We'll hook up with you guys afterwards to let you know what we're going to do for you. Those who pose the questions, thank you again. I'm Justin. This is my host, co-host Chad. And Chad is also, hello, obviously, you know, the host of Shiprock 2022. And this is Lilith Zar, and she's been so gracious with her time. So thank you again.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you having me, and I'm really looking forward to Shiprock.
But before we check out, guys, remember, this episode will drop this Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Will be available wherever you get streaming and also on YouTube. We do that these days. We're kind of caught up with technology ourselves.
YouTubes.
Remember, guys, make sure and check us out next week. But we couldn't do this show without some of the folks that we love so dearly here. So our show producer, Al McManus, our show engineer, Jennifer Zito, our show coordinator, Heather Smith, and of course, the captain, Alan Koenig. So thank you again, guys. And we'll see you next week. Lilith, thanks.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you very, very much. All right.
See you soon.
Cool.
Don't wanna be queen. If it's a man's world bringing me down. If it's a man's world. What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.